In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. As we said, May 2nd will be the last Sunday for Sunday school and for confirmation classes in our parish. They will both return after Labor Day. There are at least two things I learn whenever I teach. One is that I learn a lot. A good way to learn something is to teach it yourself, and I am always surprised by how much I didn't know. The other is that at least as important as the sharing of information is the formation of relationships. Spending time with people, both adults and youth, discussing ideas, sharing our personal stories, that is a great way to really get to know people and appreciate their unique personalities and perspectives. Teaching this year has been a blessing for me. It is a fortunate coincidence, then, that today's gospel reading brings together two of the big themes that we discussed both in the adult Sunday school and in the confirmation classes. In confirmation, we talked a lot about who God is. What is his name? What does he do? How can we know him? In the adult class, we studied John's gospel. One of the unique features of the fourth gospel is Jesus' I am statements. In last week's gospel, we heard Jesus say, I am the good shepherd. Today, we heard Jesus say, I am the vine. Those I am sayings and what they reveal to us about God and our faith will be our focus this morning. Does it ever strike you as strange that when we talk about God, we usually just call him God rather than using a personal proper name? Does God have a personal name? Yes, he does. When Moses met God at the burning bush and God commissioned him to free the Hebrew slaves from their slavery in Egypt, Moses asked God what name should he use when the people asked him who had sent him. There, God revealed to Moses his personal name, I am who I am. So Moses said to the Israelites, I am sent me. I am is God's personal name. That's also a description of his personality, of his identifying characteristics, his very essence. I confess, I find it kind of hard to express what I am means. How can a mere mortal describe God Almighty? We might say that God is being itself. God is the foundation of all being, of all that exists. God is unlimited. He always was and always will be. God is powerful and free. He can do whatever he wants. I am who I am can also be translated, I will be who I will be. The way the Jews used and pronounced God's holy name is rather unique and somewhat mysterious. They thought that I am, God's proper name, was too holy for any mortal to say. In their scrolls of their scriptures, they would write the name I am. But when a reader would come to the words I am, he would say instead Adonai, which means the Lord. Most modern English Bibles follow a similar convention. So when you read in your Bible the Lord, either in all caps or with the first letters capitalized, the real word there is the Hebrew name for God, I am. Interestingly, we might not know exactly how the Jews pronounce God's name, I am. In the earliest Hebrew writings, there were no vowels used. Ancient Jewish people reading Hebrew would recognize the consonants and know how to say the words because they were native speakers. Only centuries later were markings added to the text indicating the vowel sounds. God's name, I Am, was composed of four consonants. That's why some people use the term tetragrammaton to refer to God's name. That term doesn't strike me as particularly inspiring or especially faithful. Since no one previously pronounced God's name, I Am, out loud, the vowel sounds added later were assumed to be the right ones, but that's not certain. God's proper name, then, is pronounced Yahweh. Somehow, I got in the habit of pronouncing it the way that the Germans do, with the W taking the sound of our V, so I often say Yahweh. Maybe you grew up being told that God's name is Jehovah. I don't use that term very much. Most people don't today. Jehovah is an English version of the Greek translation of Yahweh that no one in the Bible times ever would have used, although we still might find that in some of our older hymns. The upshot is that while Yahweh is God's personal name, we still often just say God or the Lord. On Trinity Sunday, I might have more to say about how Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is also God's proper name. A few years ago, the rock band U2 did a song titled Yahweh, and the title just didn't sit right with me and with a lot of other people too, although I don't think Bono meant any disrespect. But when Jesus began seven statements recorded in John's gospel with the words, I am, he must have upset the Jews quite a bit as he was sending a very powerful message about who he is. For Jesus to say, I am, in that way, was to make himself on par with God, which we know he is, but which the Jews would have considered blasphemy. That God is three persons in one divine substance is a theme that we looked at over and over again in our adult class dealing with John's gospel. Jesus kept reiterating in numerous ways that he and the Father are one, that he, Jesus, is the Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, the Word made flesh. Not all people who call themselves Christians believe that Jesus is equal to the Father, but that is explicitly what Jesus said about himself. The I Am statements confirm Christ's identity for us. What are some of those I Am statements, and what do they mean for us? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Christ enlightens our minds by forming in us the mind of God. Certainly, many of us have had the experience of waking up in the middle of the night and stumbling around in the darkness, perhaps stubbing a toe, or worse yet, suffering a fall. I've taken to keeping a flashlight next to my bed. That makes a good analogy for what Christ does for us. On our own, we would stumble around trying to find our way to God, tripping over bad beliefs, banging up against bad doctrine, never finding peace of mind, and worse yet, missing salvation. When Jesus first uttered these words, I am the light of the world, it was in the temple, at the apex of the fall harvest celebration. The temple was illuminated with torches, like we light up the church on Christmas Eve with candles. At that celebration, a candle was put in the place of the scroll of the Jews' holy scriptures. When Jesus said, I am the light of the world in that context, he was affirming himself as the Word of God, the light that shines in the darkness that the darkness cannot overcome. Christ, the Word incarnate, the Word who speaks to us through the Bible, is, as the psalmist so poetically put it, a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Christ shows us the way that leads to the safety of God's wisdom and grace for both the Jew and the Gentile. Where is that place of safety and peace with God? Jesus answers that question by saying, I am the door, and saying, I am the good shepherd. Last week, we talked about how shepherds care for their sheep, feeding and watering them, protecting them from predators, medicating them when they're sick. Jesus also told a parable about a shepherd who left his 99 other sheep to look for the one who was lost. These obviously symbolize how Christ cares for us. What might not be so obvious is what Jesus means when he says, I am the door. At night, the shepherds would put their sheep into a pen with a door to keep them safe while the sheep rested. For us, heaven is the place where we will ultimately rest from this world's trials and labors, and there we will be safe with Christ forever. Christ leads us through the door to heaven. In the meanwhile, the church is, or at least it should be, a preview of heaven on earth where we are forgiven and forgiving, where God's people love each other, and where we are safe from all the nastiness of this world outside. Christ invites us through the doors of the church first, and then through the door of heaven later. In the church, we know what Jesus means when he says, I am the bread of life. The sacrament of the altar is a foretaste of heaven. The Jews looked back and remembered how God fed them with manna from heaven as they wandered in the wilderness, as they trekked towards the promised land. Christ is the bread of heaven, the new and improved manna that sustains us in this life until we reach the other side of the Jordan. How can Jesus do that? It all comes full circle. Jesus said, I am the true vine. Earlier we said that God is the source of all being, the foundation of life. While in the creeds we call God the Father, the maker of heaven and earth, the Bible also witnesses to Christ being present and active in creation. All that we are, all that we have, our very being, comes from Christ. Just as a branch depends on the vine for nutrition and hydration, so does the Christian depend on Christ and his body, the church, for their spiritual sustenance and nourishment. Just as a branch separated from the vine withers and dies, so does the Christian cut off from word and sacrament lose faith and is lost. I don't even want to think about that image of branches being cast into the fire. To save us from that, God has chosen to come to us through physical means. A book called the Bible, a bath called baptism, a meal called Holy Communion, an imperfect fellowship of believers gathered in his name called the church. Many people think they can get along just fine without the means of grace, without other believers, without the church. Many think they can keep up a relationship with Jesus all alone, all by themselves. I wonder if the Jesus many people claim to know is not the Christ of the Bible, but a figment of their imaginations, a make-believe friend who just happens to think what they think, love what they love, and hate who they hate. That is really no Jesus at all. It's a pretend Jesus who ought to say, if he was honest, I am not real. That is why we again and again need to reach out to those who are not worshiping, not communing, not hearing the word. You and I together must make that invitation over and over. It's not a matter of life and death. It is much more important than that. It's about eternity. After all, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Blessed are we if we know that. And may we bless others by sharing and teaching that faith. and by God's grace, help engraft them onto the vine, which is Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.